We encourage you this hour to be sober, to be vigilant, for your adversary is roaming about like a roaring lion.
Bottom line is the Christian has nothing to fear when harassed by these demon spirits, whatever you want to call them. They cannot harm a child of God, correct? Cannot.
Correct. When you come up against this, and my children have had problems with this, when you come up against this, they know, we've taught them from a young age, in the name of Jesus Christ, go. In the name of Jesus Christ, stop.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. In our first segment today, Jan is joined by Jill Martin Rishi as they present another paranormal update. The Bible says Satan is trying to devour us like a roaring lion. Do you have your armor on? We hope you find this short segment to be a helpful warning that as we move deeper into the close of the church age, we need to be prepared for evil to wax worse and worse. Here are Jill Rishi and Jan Markell.
And welcome to the program. You know, we look at news, views, truths from a decidedly biblical perspective. And you also might know that several times a year, I try to do a paranormal update because whether you are aware of it or not, the paranormal is trying to encroach on your life and the lives of those you love on a daily basis. And more, I am hearing of the literal harassment of believers by the world of the demonic, a phenomenon, by the way, that no one needs to fear. I have been harassed. My guest for this segment certainly has been harassed. If I were to relate some of the experiences to you, you would find them stunning. I actually heard very recently from someone I know to be highly credible a story of such blatant demonic harassment. It was overwhelming. Objects in her house were moved in a manner that, frankly, was designed to simply frighten her, harass her. So I have in studio with me for the first segment of the program, Jill Martin Rishi. You know that she's written a book on the paranormal, The Kingdom of the Occult. Jill, thank you for coming in this afternoon.
Great to be here, Jen.
Let's start with this. We're going to hit two or three topics. When spirits harass, what is their goal? They're defeated foes. They have no real power, but they have some physical capability. They can move objects. They can make noises. Sometimes they can become visible. What is going on here? Why do they have this kind of power?
Well, I always go back to the Bible, my favorite place to look, for knowledge and for wisdom. I look at who Satan is. Of course, he's our enemy. We are in a spiritual battle. And Jan, this is something you see so much in our world today. You have the perspective of how you look at life, which is different for Christians than it is for those who are not Christians. And that is, we have a supernatural world view. We are supposed to look for things that are outside of the five senses because God tells us they are real. He tells us that we need to be on guard, Ephesians 6. Satan is going to come after those who are serving the Lord. And you've experienced it, and I've experienced it. And he has the supernatural power to do things. The Bible is very clear on the things that Satan has the ability to do. And it's really fascinating. We go into it in The Kingdom of the Occult. But the Bible actually reveals in Exodus 7 that Satan can work miracles. That's Exodus 7, 10 through 12. He can transform matter. There are many things the Bible lists for his power. So we should not be surprised when we see demonstrations of this supernatural power.
So his worker bees, his demons, they can move objects. They can they can appear as humans even.
Absolutely. And Dr. Kurt Koch, who was a Lutheran pastor and also really a scientist, because he documented down through the decades supernatural occult occurrences and how they impacted the lives of people. And he was so clear and so logical and so scientific in his approach that he was invited multiple times to present papers at conventions that psychiatrists had. So this is really evidential information that we get from Dr. Koch. It's fascinating to read it, but he basically shows us what the Bible says, which is that these things can happen anywhere and everywhere.
Okay, the Christian game plan to fight back. I mean, I advised this person who contacted me, I said, in the name of Jesus, cleanse your house, even put a cross in each room if possible. But what is the Christian game plan?
Well, there is great power in the name of Jesus Christ. And we saw that in the New Testament. And there is great power in the presence of Jesus. So even those who did not believe in him, like the seven sons of Sceva, were trying to drive out demons, and they did, but it didn't turn out well for them. They got beaten to a pulp. But we see the power in the name of Jesus, and that is what will protect you.
So we can drive them out. If they return, has our spiritual warfare failed, or are they just going to continue to try to harass?
No, it's really interesting. If you study what Jesus taught us in the Gospels, and Jan, I know we've mentioned this before, but there is a huge amount of material in the New Testament, those particularly three Gospels, where Jesus deals with demons. Why? Why is that in there? Because he's trying to tell us there are things beyond what we can see. And he deals with them. He tells us their purpose. He tells us what they are after. He tells us how their methods work. And that is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Huge portions of it. So we can go there and learn that. And we detail this in The Kingdom of the Occult.
You have to get that at waltermartin.com, folks, unless it's in some Christian bookstores, perhaps. Otherwise, yeah. waltermartin.com, Kingdom of the Occult. But again, the story that I was told is stunning. I've had my own personal experience where objects were kind of flying around in my particular residence, and I put a cross up, and that nothing's come back since. Is that an option then?
Absolutely. That's what happened when I was a small child. I was woken up from a deep sleep as just a little kid, very small. And I woke up to this terrible sound, and it was laughter, and I was absolutely terrified, and I was wide awake. It was not as if I was sleeping. I woke up, and then I heard the laughter in my room, and I had to go and get my father. He came in. He put up a cross. We prayed, and I never heard any of it again. Now, some will leave immediately. Some, as Jesus told us, are more powerful than others, and they will keep returning, and it's necessary to keep getting rid of them. I ran into this multiple times in my father's house, knocking on closet doors in an empty house. My sisters heard footsteps and cabinets opening and closing when there was no one home but them, and they were upstairs. So these are things that happen on a regular basis. Yeah. And the thing is not to be afraid. Right. You recognize what they are. When you see something that is strange or, Jan, like really frightening, some of the things that you've seen, you just have to say, you know, I know what this is. I recognize what this is.
I mean, even my pets were alarmed, to be honest.
And you'll see that a lot of times when there is demonic activity, you will actually see pets react to their presence. Mm-hmm. I've been in the presence of the demonic, and the dog that was there was just barking like crazy. Okay. And this is something, again, that Dr. Koch documented. Mm-hmm. There are certain things that you can look for that tell you that you are in the presence of something demonic.
Many experts in this field suggest this is all intensifying here as we race sort of to the end of the church age.
And absolutely.
Does the spirit world have any special insight into God's last days timing, or do they just know the Bible?
I think they know bits and pieces of things. Mm-hmm. I think that as far as any future knowledge that's limited, only God operates outside of space and time. No one else does. I think we can be confident in the fact that they're not going to know a whole lot more than we do. The thing is, we have the most incredible power available to us. The book of Revelation, studying end times, studying what is coming up against us, helps us to understand the spiritual warfare that we are in and help us to fight against it.
Bottom line is, a Christian has nothing to fear when harassed by these demon spirits, whatever you want to call them. They cannot harm a child of God, correct? Cannot.
Correct. When you come up against this, and my children have had problems with this, when you come up against this, they know, and we've taught them from a young age, in the name of Jesus Christ, go. In the name of Jesus Christ, stop.
We don't have to call in the experts. We're experts.
We have his power, yes. Now, there are levels of power in the demonic world where at times you will need to have a pastor come in, or multiple men come in, or those who are familiar with how these spirits behave. And I'm not talking about your local shaman, who comes in to cleanse the house. That's not biblically based. No, you will need to have joined together in prayer, because Jesus told us that. He said, some only come out by prayer and fasting. So there may come a time when you run up against a demon that is particularly powerful, or as Jesus named them, legion. Yeah. You may come up against something like that, and you will need more prayer and fasting.
You want to communicate with Jill about this? Do so through waltermartin.com, waltermartin.com. In the interest of time, I'm moving on, and thank you for that insight, Jill. And I want to move on to another topic here. You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. In studio is Jill Martin Rishi. She's part of the ministry here, and she does social media, she does some radio, she does some writing, and I like to pick her brain on this particular topic because, as I introed the program 10 minutes ago, the world of the paranormal is trying to enter your world one way or another. They're trying. If not your world, certainly somebody you care about a lot. I want to talk for a minute or two, Jill, and I've been getting emails about what's called Enneagrams, and this is a personality type system. They suggest that there are 9 personality types, part of the Enneagram. And the danger is it's being used as a divination-type gimmick. It has ancient roots. It goes back to the ancient desert fathers, really before that. But the ancient desert fathers made it popular. Catholic Church has tapped into it. It's very mystical. It was used, again, I think probably most prominently by these so-called ancient desert fathers. At best, it is a New Age practice. At worst, it is blatant occult. It looks like a hexagram. And folks, if you want to hear our program on our YouTube channel, we'll be showing you all of these things. The YouTube channel is under Jan Markell, and you just look for the program date. Then we can show you some of these things on the YouTube channel. You might hear it being used in an inner healing or deliverance session, the Enneagram. Let me read an email I got. I also want to play a clip. But this email, this is just one of many that I've gotten. And she says, our pastor calls us a faith church, but we really are a relationship church. It is all about welcoming any and all. First you belong, then you believe. That is our motto. The church regularly puts on teaching sessions for all involved in any kind of ministry. So today we received our invite to attend. We were instructed to go to this website, www.eclecticenergies.com/enneagram. And we're invited to take the test. Well, I flipped out, this writer says. I'm leaving her as anonymous. She says, I felt sick. All across the top of this page are categories such as chakras and acupressure and I Ching, etc. I mean, it is an occult website. They advertised this evening as a fun night. We had to do the Enneagram at home prior to going to the meeting. Well, I wasn't about to do that. I immediately sent an email to our pastor informing him we would not be attending. And why? So why am I bringing it up here? Because, as I just implied through that email, the Evangelical Church has embraced this Enneagram. It is not safe. Let me just play a clip here. It is Andy Stanley, and he is raving about the Enneagram.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast, where we help leaders go further, faster. I'm Andy, and I'm super excited about this month's episode because it's all about leadership by the numbers, but not those numbers, not Excel numbers, Enneagram numbers. And if that doesn't mean anything to you, you are in for a treat today. I have two extraordinary people in the studio with me today. I have Ian Cron, who is the author of The Road Back to You, an Enneagram journey to self-discovery that I'm sure many of you have read. And after today's podcast, many more of you will read. Actually, Ian is responsible for introducing the Enneagram to its broadest audience.
So we have the evangelical community, evangelical leaders, in fact, that was Andy Stanley, talking about the Enneagram. Even the Youth Catalyst Conference has featured it. This is a few years ago now. And they say it is a tool for awakening your true self, the real you. You will have a spiritual awakening if you practice this so-called personality test, 9.9 personality types Enneagram. Jill, your thoughts?
Well, this is something that is totally and completely rooted in the occult and the doctrine of the demons, which is anything that comes against Jesus Christ. And it was started to be developed in the 1940s by a man named Gurdjieff, but he did not design or have anything to do with this test. That came a little bit later in the 1950s by a man named Oscar Ichazo. And believe it or not, Chan, he studied Zen, Sufism, which is, of course, the Kabbalah of Islam, and then actually the Kabbalah, and then yogas, Buddhism, Confucianism, alchemy. That is what is at the root of this whole Enneagram issue.
What should Christians do when it turns up in their church? As this gal who wrote me, I believe from the West Coast, telling me about her church, she said there's no way she was going to participate. Then she looked into it, or she called her church, and the church said this, look, it's harmless. It's a personality test. There's nothing to be afraid of whatsoever.
I know. This is what really is incredible to me, is that people accept things at face value. You need to dig deeper. Try looking up. If something comes into your church and you don't know what it is, look up history of Enneagram. That will tell you a lot. It'll pop up all these things about how the Sufis were involved, the study, what they believed was involved in this. And for those of you who aren't familiar with what Sufis actually are, think of whirling dervishes. If you've seen the people who whirl around in these little outfits and are kind of the mystical side of Islam, that's Sufism. And that is what was studied in the development of the Enneagram. So you've got that and all kinds of things that are not from God, and it can be easily discovered on the internet.
It can be. Most people aren't going to do the research. Most people trust their church. I think more and more they're beginning to be a little bit more cautious, but most people don't do the research.
Well, you know what? I think it boils down to two basic things, all right? When you are a Christian, you study the Bible focuses on Jesus Christ. If you see anything that is not focusing on Jesus Christ, that takes you away from Him to focus on yourself, which is what Enneagram does, or to focus on something other than Jesus Christ and the Word of God, then the red flags should go up.
Well, again, it looks like a hexagram. Again, we'll show this on our YouTube, but folks, you can look it up just online. You can Google the whole information that we're talking about here. It's Enneagram, and it's invaded the evangelical church. So I've been getting email after email after email, and again, Jill, Christians don't know what to do. Apparently, maybe they're just taking it at face value for what the pastor of the church has to say, and they're uncomfortable, as they rightly should be.
It is a very difficult situation, but again, the Holy Spirit gives us these red flags. Jesus should be the center. If you see something that's pointing away from Him, and believe me, Enneagrams do not exalt Jesus Christ at all. They are totally focused on you, and people love to study themselves. So right there, that should be a really big red flag, and it should also alert you to the fact that something has gotten into the church mm-hmm. that doesn't belong there. Sometimes pastors, they delegate to other pastors, and those pastors delegate to Bible study group leaders. And sometimes they don't always know what is coming into the church. So if you approach them, if you do the research, and you don't have to do more than 5 minutes research, Jen, online to figure out what is going on with this Enneagram. And if you go to them and you go to them in a spirit of humility, take someone else with you if you don't feel comfortable going by yourself, and show them the evidence. Show them evidence. Don't just give them your opinion. Show them the thing that you're having problem with in the church and pray that God will open their hearts.
That's a good word. I appreciate that. Let me just quickly say before we move on, we're going to hit one more topic in this segment. Again, this is a little bit of a paranormal update. I do this several times a year because of the invasion of the dark side into the light side, the invasion of the spirit world into the church, into your home, even though you may have a Christian home. Paranormal is going to try to enter one way or another, I promise you. I've been saying the last couple of weeks about our fall conference, September 21st. If you have tickets and you can't attend suddenly, would you just call the Brush Fire Agency? You don't have to turn anything in. You don't have to do anything but call 888-338-5338. Give them your name and tell them you can't attend. That way someone else can get those tickets of yours. So again, if you can't attend, you've got your tickets, or you get tickets in the next month, can't attend, call Brushfire, okay? 888-338-5338. Someone else will be able to get those tickets. By the way, we're also going to have closed caption that day. So you might pass that on to anyone that might apply to. We'll have closed caption at the church, and we'll have closed caption on our live streaming as well. And you need to visit our website for all of the live stream details for that September 21st event with J.D. Farag, Dr. Robert Jeffress, Amir Sarfati, Jack Hibbs, Lori Cardozo-Moore, and more. So now I want to move on. I have Jill Martin Rishi in studio with me. She's got a book, The Kingdom of the Occult. You need to look into a Christian bookstore or waltermartin.com. Jill is the daughter of Dr. Walter Martin. And Dr. Martin passed away, I believe, 1989, was it, Jill?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, let's move on. I want to hit one more topic with you still in studio with me, and it's because I saw a headline here recently, "Has a Jezebel Spirit Overtaken America?" And I want to play a clip here of a pastor, because lots of people are talking about this Jezebel spirit. I've even got a book in front of me by a prominent writer, Jezebel's War with America. It's a softbound book I've got in front of me, and it looks totally fascinating and intriguing. Here's a pastor who's talking about Jezebel coming out of the shadows, and I want to talk about this.
I don't know if you know this, And I don't know if you're going to believe me when I tell you this, but what's happening right now in America is witchcraft's trying to take this country over. It's witchcraft. It's trying to take America back over. And I want to tell you something else. I am not being political, but I don't see how President Trump bears up under it. He's as strong as I have ever seen a man be. But here's what the Holy Spirit said to me last night, and here's what he said for me to tell you. He said, tell the church that so far, Trump has been dealing with Ahab, but Jezebel is fixing to step out from the shadows.
Okay, so I'm hearing continually how active Jezebel, or the spirit of Jezebel, is today in our world, in our church, in our culture. I was reading the Christian Post the other day, and many of you are aware that Reverend Patrick Conroy, chaplain for the U.S. House of Representatives, recently cast out spirits of darkness from Congress.
Such an ugly, contentious week in Washington that it turned the House chaplain's morning prayer into what I saw as like a potential exorcism. Look at this.
In your most holy name, I now cast out all spirits of darkness from this chamber, spirits not from you. May your spirit of wisdom and patience descend upon all, so that any spirit of darkness might have no place in our midst.
So I'm continuing to read this article. And it says, the author of the article says, I realize on a national level, it's Jezebel once again. Again, referring to what this Reverend Patrick Conroy did. So the author of the article says, it's Jezebel again. The same demonic spirits which operated through this wicked woman are operating again today. And they are doing so in definite, pronounced, and aggressive fashion. And the author says, we are not dealing with these same issues on these levels one or two generations ago, but now they are everywhere in epidemic proportions. Is this possible? Okay, Jill, could the spirit of Jezebel be affecting America? I mean, Jezebel was a terribly wicked woman. We've got all sorts of things going haywire in America. Is it because of the spirit of Jezebel?
There is absolutely no biblical basis whatsoever for a spirit named Jezebel. There just is not. Now, that being said, I'm very glad to hear about the prayer in Congress because I think we needed to do that. Mm-hmm. However, Jesus revealed in his confrontation that there were multiple spirits named Legion. There is no spirit named Jezebel. This is something that has come from deliverance ministries, and I'm talking about the deliverance ministries that believe that Christians can be possessed by demons. And of course, I do not believe that. I do not believe there's any spiritual basis for Christians
but there,
being possessed.
There are some legitimate,
deliverance
yes, ministries.
There are
and
legitimate.
I think they're needed today
yes,
in this occult saturated world.
And God
world.
Bless them.
Yes.
God bless them because there are few and far between yeah, the ones who are rock solid and do not believe that Christians can be possessed. But that is where this whole Jezebel spirit took root and has grown. But there is not a single verse ever in the New Testament or in the Old Testament that points to any spirit named Jezebel that can independently go out and attack people.
Okay.
It's not real.
Okay.
Now, that doesn't mean demonic oppression and possession isn't real, because it is. And we deal with that on a daily basis. And then we also deal with that residual level of evil within all of us that causes problems okay, in our world.
Well, let me just read something Terry James. Terry James, a fantastic author, and I consider him a theologian, and he wrote about all of this. And I'm reading two paragraphs, folks. And he starts by quoting Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then he says, referring to our congressional bodies are considered the highest levels in human terms of powers and principalities. That's Terry James. And then he says, such human political, religious, and educational bodies are where these minions reside in great numbers. They're human consorts too often do their bidding. And we certainly are witnessing as never before the activities of these powers and principalities in high places. He says, in my humble opinion, we can sense the evil bony fingers of these dark powers and principalities manipulating their congressional human pawns. For example, the four freshman Democrat House members who term themselves the Squad lead the way in taking that party ever farther from common sensibility and morality so long associated with the American comportment. And then he concludes, one of the four in particular exhibits a virulent hatred for the nation of Israel, even under pressure to do so by such powerful people as Speaker Pelosi, A Democrat, Representative Omar, refuses to back off her angry statements condemning all Jews in the nation of Israel. And then he concludes, and these very minions of the dark powers and principalities have the audacity to accuse us as being Nazis and the president of being a Nazi. The Lord at present has the dark powers, both human and demonic. He holds them in derision, as he states in Psalm 2. Again, we are told to stand in these evil closing days of this age. We are instructed how to spiritually dress in order to oppose these angry God entities. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Okay, that was Terry James. So basically what he's saying is it makes sense that this kind of power would go after those in high places, such as our nation's leaders, and cause the kind of turmoil to the degree that the house chaplain is driving out spirits.
When the angel visited Daniel, he spoke about the battle in the heavenlies. So this kind of a battle translates to the earth at different times and places. I think that's what you're seeing in high places, the battle of this tremendous spiritual battle that is going on right now for America and really for the world.
Okay, so I think we have then concluded, at least in your opinion, and I am in agreement with you, by the way, that a Christian really cannot be harassed by a spirit of, let's say, Jezebel. That's in the context here for 15 minutes. This is a term that's being almost carelessly then tossed about.
It is. It's being used carelessly without biblical foundation. Okay. And it scares people, Jan. Mm-hmm. They really are afraid of this. They have actual people pointing to their children and saying, oh, your daughter has the spirit of Jezebel. That's terrible, really. And there is no biblical foundation for it.
Folks, again, you want to communicate with Jill, do so through waltermartin.com. You can surely talk to her on our social media. She manages our Facebook, our Twitter as well, and I try to get over there and comment as often as I can, but you can find Jill there actually 7 days a week. We thank you for doing that too.
I'd just like to say to all of you out on Facebook, thank you so much. You are just an incredible group of brothers and sisters. I want to especially thank you for stepping in for Jan, asking for prayer and uplifting her and Olive Tree Ministries. Your prayers have made such a huge difference in our lives, and I appreciate all of you so much. If you haven't been to Facebook, come and talk with us. We love to hear from you. We have such an incredibly responsive audience, Jen. They are so loyal.
We've got over 50,000.
I know, and so loving to all of you out there Facebook. Thank you for coming and making our community on Facebook such an encouraging place.
Jill, thank you for coming in today. Appreciate it a lot.
Thanks for having me, Jen.
Ministries do not cut back in the summer months, so we hope you'll stay in touch with us. Reach us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. You can always write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell at Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. You can now text to give. Check that out at our website. More with Jan Markell in a moment. Understanding the Times 2019 is around the corner, Saturday, September 21, just outside of Minneapolis. Do you have your tickets yet? If not, call the Brushfire Agency at 1-888-338-5338. That's 1-888-338-5338. Or just go online to brushfire.com. We are selling general admission tickets for $25, and that includes a lunch. If you have purchased a ticket and cannot attend, please turn in your ticket to Brushfire so others can purchase them. Speakers include Dr. Robert Jeffress, Amir Sarfati, Pastor J.D. Farag, Pastor Jack Hibbs, Jan Markell, and Lori Cardoza-Moore. We begin at 8:45 a.m. on September 21 and conclude at 5 p.m. The destination is Grace Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, near Minneapolis. Even hotels are selling out, so visit our website, olivetreeviews.org, and go to our conference page for hotel information. If you cannot journey to Minneapolis, the event will be live streamed at no cost. Consult our website for details. Come and meet 5,000 like-minded remnant believers on Saturday, September 21. Learn why things aren't falling apart, they are falling into place.
There's a mom there, a proud mom.
Proud mom.
Over with her, looks like, I'm talking about a 4 or 5 year old girl with a rainbow shirt on, looking confused as this little girl is staring into the eyes of this man, you know, a drag queen.
The Bible warns us that the days of Noah and Lot are returning someday. Many feel we have foreshadowing of that now with the decline of the culture. Jan Markell and David Carrazzo discuss some sensitive information in this segment of today's Understanding the Times radio. The Bible warns of a time when we would have a depraved Romans 1 culture. Thank you for allowing Understanding the Times radio to be honest in its weekly reporting so that you can become watchmen on the wall. Here is Jan Markell.
Okay, welcome back. And as you heard Jill going out of that first segment talking about social media, find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Under Facebook, it's Jan Markell's Olive Tree Ministries. When you write to us, would you always tell us how you listen? That helps us here process things in the office so much. Now, I'm moving on to another topic because one of the biggest tragedies of my lifetime has been the exploitation of children thanks to the LGBTQ, the hardcore transgender movement, how this has all accelerated in the last 15, 20 years, and the very recent drag queen story hours going on everywhere, it seems. Certainly in the U.S., the drag queen story hours are to indoctrinate children so that as they grow, they become tolerant of all lifestyles. And this is a part of the leftist agenda. I've asked David Fiorazzo to join me to talk about this. We might take another topic or two if we have time, but if not, we're going to focus like a laser beam on this, at least early on here. And David, welcome back, by the way.
Thank you so much for having me, Jan. Great to talk to you again.
Yeah, David, did you think you would see the day when children were literally being seduced, when immorality would be being pushed on three-year-olds, when there would be the blatant sexualization of children? Did you ever think you'd see the day? I did not.
No. I saw the advancement of the gay, lesbian, transgender, bisexual movements. I just did not see this coming, where the left would use publicly funded libraries mm-hmm. across the country to, and these are designed, these drag queen story hours are designed for ages 3 through 8. And then, of course, 8 and up are welcome to come as well. But I didn't quite see that coming. But what I've been learning, Jan, as I've researched this, is it's been going on for quite some time. The American Library Association has had GLBT, sometimes they switch the LGBT to GLBT Book Month, since 2015. It was originally established in the early 1990s as National Lesbian and Gay Book Month. And what they do is it's an opportunity, they say, for book lovers and libraries with the very best in gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender community interest books that they would be interested in. So this is not a brand new thing, although it seems to have taken the public and particularly the church by storm and by surprise.
Yeah, by surprise.
It's into libraries all across the country. But like we've said before, there's an initialization of the LGBT or GLBT. It's initialism that's been around since the early 1990s. And of course, we know the movement started well before that, possibly in the late 50s.
One American News has put out, I found a really interesting clip, a gal pushing back here, because Christians are trying to push back, David. I find that very encouraging. I don't know how successful they are. They are often overwhelmed by the other side, and the other side being so vocal and so, quite frankly, so vicious. But here's just a short clip from the One American News Network.
A 10-year-old child was forced by his mother to pose for a photograph with a fully naked adult man. Call the cops, right? Imagine the outrage if that had been the headline. There would have been immediate cries of child abuse, pedophilia, call Child Protective Services, lock up the mother, and arrest that grown man. But in the actual photo, and I apologize for showing such a graphic image, but you need to see this to believe it and understand the severity of what is going on here. The 10-year-old child is named Nemis Quinn Melanchon Golden. He was posed by his mother Jessica with an adult male drag queen, the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race. The drag queen was naked, as you can see. This is a grown man. fully naked, except for one tiny scrap of fabric partially concealing his genitals. The 10-year-old child is still just a 10-year-old boy, dressed up by his mom to look like a girl. And they call us bigots for being outraged about this. Why is this not child pornography? Are drag queens exempt from the laws protecting children from adult sexual predators? Are the parents of drag kids exempt from the laws that prohibit parents from facilitating sexual encounters between minor children and adult predators? Oh, Democrats have been telling us for years that any opposition to the LGBTQ agenda makes us homophobic or transphobic. Give me a break. I challenge Democrats, defend this. Tell me how this is possibly okay. Tell me how this is not child abuse. Tell me why this is not this close to pedophilia. Tell me why this is not child pornography. What makes this any different from child pornography? We warned this is what would happen. If you celebrate sexual promiscuity to the point of glorifying perverted sexual deviancies, this is what you get. A 10-year-old child victimized by his mother, victimized by a naked adult man who would pose for a photograph with him while dressed, and dressed is a generous word for that scrap of fabric covering his junk in a highly sexualized pose, victimized by a whole culture who are unwilling to come to this child's defense and protect him from sexual exploitation.
We'll show this on our YouTube channel if you want to catch the program there. We'll show you what she's talking about. David, your thoughts?
I love that clip, Jan. I've heard it many, many times. I agree with her. Maybe 10, 20 years ago, a man would have been arrested. But now, since that part of the agenda has been rolled out, it seems to be people are, as you know, we talk an awful lot about calling evil good and good evil, but the Bible warns us about men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, and what's the result? The wrath of God comes. It's idolatry. We are creating gods in our own likenesses. Of course, this worldly pagan likeness of no creator, so we are determining our own truth. In Romans 1, 19
That's right.
and 21, because that which is known about God is evident within them. They have a conscience. God made it evident to them. And then it says in verse 21, they became futile in their thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened. Even Jesus predicted this as a result of lawlessness and blatant celebration of evil. He said that the love of most will grow cold, Matthew 24:12. That's when it comes back to the church. What will we do? How will we respond to this? And thankfully, there are people out there like Elizabeth Johnston, the activist mommy, God-fearing Christian woman, who's taking a lot of heat, including death threats. She's had to hire armed security for her family, and she's got a book out called Not on My Watch. She's been trying to get these drag queen story hours canceled across the country with the help of her social media and email campaigns, and she's done a good job. But, of course, the left is attacking her and accusing her of things, including this one. She's accused of violence against the LGBTQ community, and she's encouraging her followers to spread hate. And so they're really coming against her. In fact, one drag queen called Child Services and is trying to get a campaign complaining that she's an unfit mother. So this is the kind of thing they do. They start lying, and they start trying to attack Christians or conservatives who are resisting. One thing I want to point out, Jan, there's a dispatch that came out during Gay Pride Month from GLBT Book Month, and this was on the American Library Association website. It was from a librarian. She gives several points about pushing the LGBTQ agenda and these drag queen story hours, including don't give up, make sure to invite LGBT community partners, sneak stuff into your current programs. And this one I found very insightful. On the fifth point on the agenda, it said, now for librarians, it says firmly defend LGBT items in your collection. And if parents, like Christian parents or conservatives, complain or resist, she says, if something is challenged, now this is creepy actually, she says, be ready to listen to the complaint, respond in a calm manner, stating that your library purchases items for all the members of your community.
Okay.
Often in these situations, people just want to be heard. Then she says, this is interesting, they're satisfied to move on when they're sure they've been heard. Now this is a point that we can take to heart, Jan, Christians and conservatives. Don't just be satisfied with just making a complaint, follow up, continue to raise awareness, because they will continue to force this agenda through regardless of our complaints.
There's a periodical called Intersections from the American Library Association Office for Diversity. I'm reading a paragraph, building a little bit on what you just said, David. They instruct their people, again, librarians across the country, sneakily fit stuff into current programs. So you're not doing drag queen story time yet, but you're probably doing regular old story time, right? So try to sneak inclusive messages into your programs. For instance, if you're reading a book about a mama bear and a papa bear, maybe when you read it, you just change it to be about two papa bears. Or if you're reading a book about a rabbit who likes to get dirty and play sports, maybe when you read it, you pointedly say it's a girl rabbit. If there are characteristics in a book where the gender is unidentified or irrelevant, feel free to play and to change it up. Chances are kids and families won't even notice. But for that same-sex family or gender non-conforming child who does, it will really mean a lot to that kid to know their librarian has their back. Man, have we gotten depraved, David Fiorazzo.
Yes, and the American Library Association has been doing this for years. Unfortunately, to your listeners who are aware that it is publicly funded by our tax dollars,
right,
but had no idea this kind of thing was going on. Let me tell you about the recent conference they had and just a handful of sessions they
had. Please
do.
I have it in front of me. I want you to talk about it.
Sure. Just a couple of them I want to mention. One is called Creating Queer Inclusive Elementary School Library Programming. Also another one, Telling Stories, Expanding Boundaries, Drag Queen Story Times in Libraries, and I've got to get this one in. Now, this is a workshop at the last month's American Library Association conference, A Child's Room to Choose, Encouraging Gender Identity and Expression in School and Public Libraries. And then it has one about, Are You Going to Tell My Parents? In other words, keep it a secret. Mm-hmm. This is very deceptive, Jan. They're sliding this in, and most people have no idea that these things are going on at the annual conference for public libraries in America.
Yeah, 21,460 people attended the library conference that we're referring to right now, featuring workshops on drag queens and queering elementary schools. David, I'm not even sure during the days of Noah, things were quite this depraved. I'm really troubled by this. There's evidence of years of planning for this. And I know you feel the 2015 Supreme Court ruling on same-sex marriage opened Pandora's box, but I just didn't think it was this bad until I started researching.
I just wasn't aware, Jan, that it was happening in small-town USA. You expect this kind of thing in New York,
yeah,
San Francisco, L.A. You can probably call your local library and go and check out some of the books there. And I believe most of your listeners would be shocked to see some of the books that are already on the shelf. I've been looking through these book lists. It's quite astounding what the American Library Association is pushing. It's interesting it goes along with education, or I should say re-education. Jan, we know the public schools have been doing this for 50 years, but now it's gotten into the libraries where what they're doing is they're trying to retrain any young children that have any Christian upbringing, any understanding of the Bible at all. They're trying to take that away and, in fact, take the kids away from their parents in a way, and just teaching them these things that, of course, against the Bible, they're godless. They are teaching them they do not have a creator, and it goes on and on. So the roots of this, yeah, I believe it was a catalyst in 2015 when the Supreme Court legalized same-sex marriage. That is in quotes, of course. So this is disturbing, but what can we do? Of course, we've got to pray. We've got to continue to understand your program. You talk about prophecy quite a bit. We are living in the most prophetic days in the history of the world. And of course, in America, just remember to keep that eternal perspective and make sure that we are looking at things from a biblical perspective here.
I'm going to just make one more comment here. I'm actually reading a little paragraph you've written, and you say this. Folks, you can learn more at David's website. It's davidfiorazzo.com, davidfiorazzo.com. You can sign up for his blog that he will send out. Great thoughts on the decline of the culture. And you say, David, they're paving the way for sexual abuse, including pedophilia. And then you ask, where's the Me Too movement on the issue of children? Some of us saw this coming years ago, but how did we get to the point of openly sexualizing innocent children and promoting it as acceptable? And then you say, let's start with Nemus, the 10-year-old boy in Canada who goes by Lactasia and who was featured in a troubling magazine article promoting the life of so-called child drag queen, and a shocking photo, a man who goes by the name of Violet and recently won a reality competition called RuPaul's Drag Race is seen again, naked, wearing nothing more than a piece of fabric. We've already referred to that. And then you refer to the boy's mother, I'm going to leave her nameless, being unapologetic, allows this child to wear whatever he wants because he's just expressing himself, and it makes him feel beautiful. Then you indicate the media is all in, and then a few months back, rather than protect children from sexual exploitation, what did ABC's Good Morning America do? They were complicit in this destructive behavior by featuring 11-year-old Desmond the Amazing. By the way, I talked about this last January in a California message I gave. I showed clips of Desmond the Amazing, 11-year-old drag queen kid. The approving audience acted like clapping seals programmed to conform to the spectacle. And then in December, Desmond performed a sexually suggestive dance in full drag at a New York City bar. They apparently threw dollar bills at this young kid. It could go on and on. I think we've made our point, David. We are definitely in the days of Romans 1 and 2 Timothy 3.
Yes, we are. And what you brought up is very interesting as well. The fact is, we're not just talking about the left and the LGBTQ lobby and agenda going after young children. Parents are pushing and encouraging their
parents,
kids to determine their own gender. I wouldn't encourage your listeners to go here, but there's a Drag Queen Story Hour Facebook page. I'm looking at a picture with a guy dressed up as a woman, drag queen, at a library. There's a mom there, a proud mom, bending over with her, looks like, I'm talking about a 4 or 5 year old girl with a rainbow shirt on, looking confused as this little girl is staring into the eyes of this man, you know, a drag queen. You can find photos like this all over the place, but yet parents, what are they thinking? So this is another problem. And I want to just say that I believe that this generation, we've brought this on ourselves. We've passed this down. It's been pushed down to the generations because we have not spoken out about sin. Well, yes, it's unpopular to talk about, but homosexuality, Jesus did talk about marriage, defined marriage. We hardly have uttered a peep about this in the church from the pulpits across the country.
Right.
And that's just part of the problem that we're seeing.
I'm going to move to another topic because you write about who's monitoring big tech. I think this is an extremely troubling issue going on. Folks, do you know that if you are a conservative, a Christian, a patriot, a lover of the flag, or just proud to be an American, you must keep those thoughts to yourself when it comes to big tech? David, and you write, the individuals and organizations that have been affected by censorship are too many to list. And you say, while Antifa, which supposedly means anti-fascists, hold their intolerant and violent hate Trump protests, Facebook is banning accounts, Google is censoring search results, and YouTube is taking down or deleting conservative videos. Indeed, my lights have been turned out on YouTube twice, and you write a lot about this. Big tech is monitoring our speech, but who is monitoring them? And then you cite George Orwell. You say, you know, in George Orwell's famous book, 1984, the way Big Brother controlled its power, the way the state controlled its power, is it controlled information? We see in the big tech media companies that same exact power. Google is abusing its monopoly powers. We have antitrust laws to deal with that.
Yes, and we've been censored, many of us. You have on YouTube. I personally have been on Facebook. The radio show I work for, Stand Up for the Truth, has been shadow banned on Facebook. I'll explain what that is in a minute. Journalist James O'Keefe, which has done some amazing undercover work exposing all kinds of scandals of the left, Planned Parenthood, his YouTube was pulled down. Dennis Prager, of course, you're familiar with his work. It's an educational YouTube channel. That was pulled down. In fact, he's got a second lawsuit right now, and he testified before Congress on this. Freedom Project, the Dr. Duke Show, people I'm working with as well. So there's so many others, live action, pro-life sites that have been either banned, their accounts have been deleted. As soon as they try to promote something or tweet something, Twitter pulls it down. So it's not just Google, but I mentioned in the very end of that article, Jan, when I was writing my very first book and researching for Eradicate, Blotting Out God in America, I did a lot of searching, but because I'd been reading about this stuff, I'd been informed, I knew where a lot of the information was that I needed. So I went to Google to go to try to find the reference links for those sites. What I found was that if I knew there was something I was looking for, if it was a Christian or a conservative site, I would have to scroll through pages and pages and pages of search results, possibly 5 or 6 or more, to get what I was looking for. Typically, the progressive and the liberal sites almost always come up first. Now, shadow banning, a lot of Facebook pages that are conservative or Christian, They are being shadow banned. What they do is Facebook allows you, if you have a page, a fan page it used to be called, they allow you to post, so you don't know. You see your post, it's there, but you could come back to it the next day, and where typically you might get hundreds and hundreds of likes or shares, you might get like 4 or 5 people seeing it. That means it's not showing up in people's news feed. You post it as usual, so you can typically tell when someone's being shadow banned. I can give you one example on a recent video I did. In fact, this very video that I did, Jan, on big tech censorship, I've had videos for Freedom Project that have gone 600,000, 700,000 views. The video I did with the Facebook logo on it, says Facebook, Google, they're censoring conservatives, it got about, I think, 9,000 or 10,000 views, which might sound like a lot, but in light of past videos, it's not even close. You post it, and they let you post it, but the only way people are going to see it is if someone goes directly to your page, shares it with other people. Otherwise, it's not showing up in people's news feeds.
Well,
it's happening.
David, and that's troubling, but to me, a whole lot more troubling, and I think perhaps to our listeners as well, is the ability to throw elections. And I want to play a clip here. It is Ted Cruz talking to a gentleman who is suggesting that this is indeed, and this fellow is not a conservative. He is testifying before a committee, Ted Cruz ahead of it. Let's just hear what they have to say.
Dr. Epstein, I found your testimony incredibly powerful and incredibly concerning. If anyone draws news out of this hearing, I would encourage you to review very carefully Dr. Epstein's testimony. And I'd like to take a moment to make clear several things. First of all, as I understand your background, you're not a Republican, nor are you a conservative. Is that accurate?
That would be an understatement.
And indeed, you're the former editor-in-chief of Psychology Today.
Correct.
So you're a respected academic. You testified before this committee that Google's manipulation of votes gave at least 2.6 million additional votes to Hillary Clinton in the year 2016. Is that correct?
That's correct.
I want to make sure I understand. You personally supported and voted for Hillary Clinton.
I was a very strong public supporter of Hillary Clinton, yes.
You're not dismayed that people voted for her, but your testimony is that Google is, through bias in search results, manipulating voters in a way they're not aware of.
On a massive scale. And what I'm saying is that I believe in democracy. I believe in the free and fair election more than I have any kind of allegiance to a candidate or a party.
And looking forward, if I understood your testimony correctly, you said in subsequent elections, Google and Facebook and Twitter and big tech manipulation could manipulate as many as 15 million votes in a subsequent election?
In 2020, if all these companies are supporting the same candidate, there are 15 million votes on the line that can be shifted without people's knowledge and without leaving a paper trail for authorities to trace.
Now, you described the Go Vote reminder, and you said it wasn't a public service announcement, but rather manipulation. Can you explain how? I'm not sure everyone followed the details of that.
If on Election Day in 2016, if Mark Zuckerberg, for example, had chosen to send out a Go Vote reminder, say just to Democrats, and no one would have known if he had done this, that would have given that day an additional at least 450,000 votes to Democrats. And we know this without doubt because of Facebook's own published data, because they did an experiment that they didn't tell anyone about during the 2010 election. They published it in 2012. It had 60 million Facebook users involved. They sent out a Go Vote reminder, and they got something like 360,000 more people to get off their sofas and go vote who otherwise would have stayed home. The point is, I don't think that Mr. Zuckerberg sent out that reminder in 2016. I think he was overconfident. I think Google was overconfident. All these companies were. I don't think he sent that out without monitoring systems in place. We'll never know what these companies are doing. But the point is, in 2018, I'm sure they were more aggressive. We have lots of data to support that. And in 2020, you can bet that all of these companies are going to go all out. And the methods that they're using are invisible. They're subliminal. They're more powerful than most any effects I've ever seen in the behavioral sciences. And I've been in the behavioral sciences for almost 40 years.
You know, our Democratic colleagues on this committee often talk about what they view as the pernicious effect of big money and big corporate dollars. What you are testifying to is that a handful of Silicon Valley billionaires and giant corporations are able to spend millions of dollars, if not billions of dollars, collectively. massively influencing the results of elections. And there's no accountability. You said, we don't know. We have no way of knowing if Google or Facebook or Twitter sends it to Democrats or Republicans or how they bias it, because it's a black box with no transparency or accountability whatsoever. Am I understanding you correctly?
Senator, with respect, I must correct you.
Please.
If Mark Zuckerberg chooses to send out a go vote reminder just to Democrats on Election Day, that doesn't cost him a dime.
David, I'm down literally to 30 seconds. Your thoughts?
I think the election in 2016 could have been a lot closer, but I do think Christians need to send out a go vote reminder.
Yeah.
If even 10% more Christians voted, I don't think elections would even be as close, even with all the power and the money the left has.
Folks, you can learn more at David's website, davidfiorazzo.com, davidfiorazzo.com. He's an author. You can check out his books there. I hope we've sent out some warnings this hour. We've covered a lot of topics in just 60 minutes. Let me just go out of the program saying this. David, by the way, thanks for joining me for this closing segment. Listen, when you need the wall to fall, the sea to part, the mountain to move, the rain to start, the chains to break, the enemy to flee, the storm to cease, the victory, our mighty, awesome, faithful God has got you covered. I want to thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
You are the love song we'll sing forever.
With the presentation of the issues of this hour, we all acknowledge that it is both a privilege and a challenge to be born for such a time as this. Won't you be salt and light and help delay this decay? Let us hear from you through our website, olivetreeviews.org, or by calling us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. You can always write us with a tax-deductible check to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. While our times may be darkening, Jesus is returning, and that's the good news we proclaim every week.